All of the views and opinions expressed here are those of the individual speaking and may not be representative of Coding American. At times, language may be considered vulgar. Listener discretion is suggested.
How you doing, everyone? It's another beautiful Wheel Wednesday. Yes, we are back. And thank you for being here. I'm Luis from Koenig, and this is Scott from Koenig. And yeah, we're here to have another riveting conversation with you guys. And me and Scott got a lot to talk about this time.
Yeah, Luis and I have different definitions of riveting. But with that said, we are going to have a conversation. We've said this before. A lot of the stuff that we talk about ends up coming from conversations we either have with people like you that are out there, we communicate with, you know, kind of in the comments section or, you know, in the DMs and different emails that we send. And a lot of other times it comes from just internal debates or arguments that we had in the office, because we fail if we're having these conversations here that you're having those conversations there.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that I wanted, the reason why I want to have this conversation is because obviously I've been putting it out there that I have a Ford Fiesta, and obviously I've been teasing you guys about what I'm going to do with it, and I have done absolutely nothing just yet. And you know why? Because I'm scared.
Again, riveting. So today we're going to be talking. You know, look, Luis has a lot of unfounded fears, but some that are legitimate and concerns that you guys have, right? You always get that stage of like, do you turn your daily? Do you modify your daily? Is there something that, like, you know, Luis is kind of in that stage where he's like, oh, I should wait till I get a project car so I can have a dedicated car that I can mess with and it won't affect my getting to work and going to hang out, you know, with my friends and different things like that. And I think that it's a legitimate concern. You know, so there's pieces of this. And so we started talking about different modifications and we're arguing over which one of those modifications really would be, you know, a death sentence or cause him drama. And I think that's kind of where we were at, you know?
Yeah. And I think it's one of those things, too, that you got to think about. I think about these type of things, the amount of time and effort that I want to put into something. Not only that, I'm fearful of messing something up if I'm doing it myself. Should I take it to someone to actually work on it for the first time? Mm. Or is it something that I do at home? Yeah. You know, I think about, like, for example, Scott has suggested over also maybe kind of joking around and stuff like that. It's kind of putting a turbo into the car. And
well,
is that some?
Oh, geez. I mean, like, you know. Way to jump into the deep end here. Why don't we go through something that's actually realistic? Let's start with a modification path for most new vehicle owners that will modify their vehicle.
Well, so let's put it like this. Like,
why don't you just jump into a built engine?
Well, so let's talk about like my setup as far as like wheels and stuff. Obviously, that's something that I'm going to do. You know,
one of the things, yes.
Well, sure. The reason why I've been waiting for it is because luckily, we've actually made some sizes of this specific wheel right here. Ooh, look at it. The heliogram for my Ford Fiesta. And I wanted to kind of wait on that wheel and to kind of put it on my setup. But I want to move up a size. You know, I want to move up a size because OE, it comes with 15-inch wheels. I want to go to 17-inch.
Oh.
Okay.
So what you're saying is you want to flex on them.
Yes. But this is what I'm scared of, too. You know, because let's say once I put that on, that means that I have to think about lowering the car. Because you don't want to sit there so high with amount of space, especially me working at Kona. I got to come out fresh.
What he's saying is he doesn't want to get trashed by everybody in the office.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So these are things that I think about, too. And then, you know, I start to look at lowering springs, coilovers, all these choices that I can possibly have when it comes to the car. And then you start that. But then that's the thing that happens with car people when you're around car people as well. You know, then all of a sudden you do these things and now you start talking about what you're going to put under the hood. And I want to do it.
But let me ask you a question. And I've been down this rabbit hole many times.
Exactly.
I'm the guy that has bought cars before. And before I even came home with the car, I had, you know, a room full of parts yeah. waiting for me. So yeah. I understand, but like what I'm saying is that, you know, why take yourself so far down the rabbit hole before you've done anything? Like, you won't really know your modification path and what kind of things you're comfortable with or what kind of things you really want to do until you start doing some of the things that I would classify as some of the basics.
Yeah. Well, so and this is the type of spectrum of people that I deal with when it comes to working here. And this is also me traveling and being able to kind of talk to a lot of automotive people and stuff like that. One moment I'm talking to someone, they're like, yo, wheels, you know, and that wheel stance, you know, all that. That's a great way to start. Then all of a sudden I have a conversation with someone else, like a Steve Ancy or something. He's telling me to autocross it. So it's like that's like the range of people that I speak to.
Okay.
You know,
but even if you were going to autocross it, you're going to have to make some form of modification to really have a car that can hold up, especially Fiesta. Look, if you have a stock, you know, Porsche GT3, right? If you have a stock GT3, if you have, you know, a car like a Civic Type R, an Evo, maybe an STI, not that the cars won't necessarily have some slop in them, you know, out of the box, but those cars are much more tuned from the factory. So you could probably be a weekend warrior that wants to keep their car quote unquote stock and still have a really good time autocrossing your car.
Yeah.
You took your car out to autocross flat out of the gate, and I'm going to say it's going to be a miserable day.
Of course.
Right?
Obviously.
And yeah. It's going to be fun to watch because you're going to be like I could probably, like, you know, ride my bike beside you. So I guess I guess the point I'm trying to say is that from your platform, from your car, you're going to have to start somewhere if you even wanted to go to that, you know, autocross capability. You know, autocross is a lot of fun. It is, but
and see,
we're not talking about that today.
This is the type of situation that I'm dealing with right now.
Yeah,
is the simple fact of, like, let's say if I do decide to get a project car, how long is that going to take me? You know what I mean? These are things I'm thinking about in my brain, and then I'm like, well, you know what? I want to have fun. I want to try new things. I want to, you know, mod this car and see where it goes. And
sure.
But then at the same time, it's like, what's the smarter thing to do in this situation? Maybe not smarter, but...
Let me use the term smarter.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
You know, we don't look at cars... For the predominant people that are going to... Or the predominant amount of people that are going to modify their vehicle, we don't look at it from a retail value or a smart perspective, right? So you're talking about, now, what's the smart move? I think... What do you want your car to look
like?
Well,
so give me an example here. So, for example, let's just blank canvas.
Let's blank canvas.
You bought the 350Z when you bought it.
Yeah.
What did you say to yourself? Did you buy that car with the intentions of doing some modifications to it? Or did you just buy it and be like, you know what? I want to kind of just have a 350Z.
No,
or did it just gradually happen?
I will never own a car that I declare a project car without having a ton of stuff I want to do to it.
Oh, see, yeah.
Like, it just doesn't come from me that way. Like, if I would modify everything, the only cars that I in my latter part of my life that I have never really modified are the cars that I strictly got because I needed to take my kids around, my family around. Like, there are some cars that I don't want to modify because if you would have given me the choice to go pick any other thing, the car that I bought wouldn't be the one I would have wanted, right? Mm. Like, I'll give you for example. Right now, I have a Volkswagen Atlas. It's one of those big Volkswagen-y SUV things, you know, all-wheel drive, V6, seven seats, you know, has the third row. If I did not have kids, I wouldn't have bought that car. Not because I don't think the car is good, not because I haven't had a good experience with the car, because inherently, I would have probably picked something more on the tuner end, sport end, stuff like that. But I can't because I have to haul my daughter and around her little dance friends and the whole thing. And so for me to modify that car, it's not that I wouldn't. I would.
Mm-hmm.
I don't love the car enough to want to spend my money there when I can spend my money on the Z.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
like, that to me is a priority thing, not a adverse to modification thing.
But and now what I'm trying to get to is, what made you say, like, okay, like, for example, you bought the 350Z.
Yeah.
What made you say, okay, I want to, like, is that just initially in your mind that you wanted to do from the beginning, or is it just something that you kind of were like, okay, and where do you start?
Well, so I was super fortunate with the Z, that I actually bought it from another guy, another enthusiast, mm-hmm. That, you know, my friend, I mean, which you'll see, you know, remotely through here, Vinny Ten, who's an import drag racing legend, but like we were, you know, we're super friendly, and he called me up one day and he's like, hey, listen, I got this Z, it's super clean. Mm-hmm. Dude's about to boot, he dropped it off, and you know, and he said, hey, we're putting it back to put it back to stock for me, mm-hmm. keep all the parts, I'm trading the car in. He was having a baby, the car only has two seats, I get it, right? Mm-hmm. So I rushed down there and picked it up with a pretty decent amount of things on the car, mm-hmm. right? And then I've obviously taken it, you know, from there and done a bunch of stuff for that I like, mm-hmm. and obviously modified it my way. But let's go back to, let's say, some other basic cars that I've had in the past. You know, mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, when I get a car that's stock, especially if it's a car that I really wanted mm-hmm. and I bought, you know, mm-hmm. whether it be an Evo or something like that. Yeah, I mean, to me, I seem to always have a very similar modification path. Mm-hmm. I do wheels and tires, suspension right out of the gate, like mm-hmm. like probably before anything. And then right after that, I seem to gravitate right towards power modifications.
Yeah. Now,
a lot of the cars that I choose to own
yeah.
Are, you know, especially until this point, have been turbo cars.
Yeah.
So the first thing I try to do is, you know, get the car tuned, put intake, exhaust, you know, open up the intake track, put a downpipe on the car, and, you know, get the car tuned or tune the car to be able to maximize the turbo I have on the car. And then clearly my next thought process is, all right, now I need a new turbo and bolt-on modification. So in, you know, whether it be months after that or if I have the money right then, now I'm looking for an upgraded turbo. I'm looking for injectors. I'm looking to push the car through bolt-on modifications up into the point where I'm going to need to build the engine to be able to take advantage of a bigger turbo and start all over again.
Yeah.
That's always seemed to be my same modification part. But I'll tell you this, that, you know, I've been looking for C6 Z06s. They're fairly pricey right now. I don't know if that will ever change. But now for a car like that, I wouldn't take it all the way. I don't think I would, unless the car was already forced induction. I don't think I would go. I don't think I would turbo it or supercharge it. But I do believe that I would put a set of heads on the car and change the cam, because just by doing that stuff and throwing an exhaust in the car nets out like another 100, 120 horsepower. Like, how do you not just take advantage of that? Now let's go back to your
exactly,
Fiesta.
So for like, and that's what I'm talking about. Like, listen, I obviously work here and it's something that I'm interested in. It's obviously sometimes I've sat there with Scott in his garage and I see him working, and obviously I'm interested. The biggest thing that I guess I'm dealing with is, once you go in and you start something, I'm the type of person where there's no way that I'm not gonna try to do my best in making it what I, you know, the best version of what that may be. And that's the thing that I'm dealing with right now, being able to sit there and say, okay, once, because I know myself, once I start with one thing, I start, just like you just said it 2 seconds ago, I'm going to get a wheels and tire setup, and then it's going to look good. And then I'm going to be like, okay, click, click, open up that hood. And then I start looking at where I can start.
Well,
there.
Look, I think your car is a good limitation for you, right? I think that, you know, you put wheels and tires on the car and suspension in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And when we say suspension, there is a dramatic spectrum,
yeah,
of where you could spend money, how much money you could spend, yep, and what the result could be.
Yeah.
So I think that there is a lot of range there to do it on a very budgetary and friendly mm-hmm. level, but mm-hmm. still feel some result.
Yeah.
And I'll explain that in a second. But like, in other words, if let's say you get wheels and tires on the car. All right, so the wheels and tires, especially going to an upsize thing, they're going to take away a lot of the slop in the sidewall, yeah, and the car is definitely going to handle a little bit better. It's also going to handle rougher, which means it's going to ride a little rougher. The mm-hmm. ride quality does go down when you increase the diameter of a wheel, because you're going to a much smaller profile tire. But then let's say we go suspension. All right, you don't have the most money in the world right now, so let's just go ahead and let's say we're going to put a set of, you know, new shocks in the, or new struts in the car. And we're going to put in just a regular lowering spring.
Yeah.
You know?
Like yep.
Something from Eibach, whatever it may be. Put it in there. Get the car down like an inch or so, so that it doesn't look like a 4x4 project. And all of a sudden, we're going to chill there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So there's levels to there. You know, maybe that's enough for you to, you know, spend $50 and go run an autocross and see if you even like it. Like, there's plenty of people that you don't have to necessarily make the car faster to run autocross.
And this is one of the things that, and speaking to a lot of people who now I consider my friend, someone like Nick Steneford, who I speak to all the time, Casey Cole, who I see that they're obviously enthusiasts through and through.
Well,
but all I ever hear is how much of a money pit being into this could be. And my biggest fear is, I knowing myself, like I just said 2 seconds ago, is once I start, where does it stop?
Well, so let me ask you a question. In what other hobbies do you really know of that aren't a rabbit hole or expensive?
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I could never play golf. I cannot dedicate a half a day to running around smashing a little white ball with a club and then chasing the ball around trying to put it into a little hole that's 400 yards that way. Just like, will never happen, right?
Yeah.
But if I acknowledge that there's a lot of people that love that sport.
Well, what if
and you got golf clubs that are thousands of dollars. You have tee times that cost $140 per tee time. Like, you have the drinks that you're going to spend when you go golfing. Because let's be honest, 94% of you that golf, trust me, you're only going golfing so you can drink. And then when we start talking about that whole rabbit hole, so where's the rabbit hole in that? Guns. There's plenty of people that find guns to be amusing, right? Uh-huh, uh-huh. And so, like, you know, they come out with their arsenal. I mean, those things cost a grip of money. Ammo to go shoot those guns?
Yeah.
Grip of money. So yeah. I guess what I'm saying is, I mean, aside from maybe competitive frisbee, I don't know too many hobbies that aren't going to take you down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, yeah.
Baking.
Yeah. Baking is expensive.
Well, you especially got to buy all that crap. And then you make it, and everybody eats it, and then you got to wait for a weight loss program, ask me how I know, so that you can shed the weight from eating the cake. So what I'm saying to you here is, I think hobbies are a natural passion thing.
Yeah.
And I think you go until the passion isn't there anymore, or you go until you're like, that's enough for me.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. So, but that's where I'm trying to figure it out, because like I mentioned, at the end of the day, it's one of those things that I know myself, once I start, I can't stop. And it's one of those things that in any hobby that I've ever picked up or anything like that, I always try to go 110%. And I'm kind of at that, you know, I've done this before already. I remember the one time that I tried to mod my car with the Eagle Talent, and that was a money pit.
Let's keep it 100. I'm a DSM guy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
My roots are in DSM.
Yeah.
I love those cars on an unexponential scale.
Yeah.
Very large.
Yeah.
But I don't know how you couldn't have a bad experience with that car. Like here's the thing. They weren't inherently awesome as far as their capabilities to stay running, stay together, and not break. But eventually a guy like me who got to a point where, like, I built so many of them, I knew all the nuances to them. But, like, for somebody to come in and be like, I'm going to build, a DSM right out of the gate, you know, I can see the issues.
Sometimes I always think about where that car is. So I mentioned this before.
Right now, it's probably in some junkyard.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. But the second gear went out, and I sold it. Just like that. That's how, when I was young, dude, me and my friends, we used to get cars, just play around with them, and then just be like, pfft. Like, it was nothing.
Well, and that is the difference between you and I. Let me tell you what happened when I lost a second gear. My first DSM, so I was 21. Anyhow, bottom line is, I remember being at home. I remember being a problem. It was summertime. I was home from college. I backed the car into the garage. The garage my mom parks in, and not like a double car garage, like a single car garage. It was her only space. I backed the car in. I put the car on jack stands. I proceeded to take the transmission out of the car. I then used her kitchen table to disassemble the transmission. Now, I started probably about 8:30 in the morning. By the time my mom got home around 3:45, 4 o'clock, her white kitchen table was now covered with some plastic bags and the remnants of all the transmission parts I was able to take apart after I got the case apart. Because, hey, listen, when you have a bad second gear, which wasn't really bad second gear, it was a synchros, but bottom line is, that was the difference between me and you. You're like, all right, my road here is coming to a close.
It wasn't even that. I was over it.
Well, I understand. Yeah. But so you got there, and I was like, still in for it.
Yeah.
I'll just take all this crap apart at my mom's kitchen table, smelling the whole house up of gear oil. Probably on the list of things that my mom didn't really enjoy at that time. It was even worse knowing that I took something apart. I marginally thought I could get back together all by myself. That has a lot of parts. They were all drawn out, and it didn't go back together as quick as I was hoping. So we ate in the den for a little while.
All right. Anyways.
I don't know what you want me to say. Like, that's just the difference. Like, everybody's got a different level. You know what I mean? Like, I think you should modify to the level that you feel comfortable with. But, like, I don't think you should be afraid of modifications. I think you need to do the research and do modifications well. And I think in your case, you have a bunch of people in this building that have nothing but experience to lead you down the right path.
Yeah.
So I think I would just draw on that and do it to the point where you feel you're saturated.
Yeah.
That, you know, that you're content.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you do that with any modifications, will you get to a point where you'll say, all right, I've done this stuff and now I want to do more?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. But maybe you'll get to a point where you'll say, you know what, this is good enough for me.
Yeah.
Or maybe you'll get to a point where you say, hey, look, now it doesn't make sense for me to keep going with this car.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I do, to go to that next level, it's just too much money.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's the difference between maybe, like, you know, you have a Focus. Getting a phone call. You have a Focus, Fiesta, and it's not an ST.
Yep.
But that may be the difference between, well, if you had an ST, would you go further? And I believe the answer to that would be yes, because it would be easier with a car coming turbo from the factory and tuning and some of these aftermarket capabilities.
Yep.
I think you would be able to get more out of the power plant much easier than the platform you have now. So your car may be a natural limiting factor into how far you modify it before you either say, I'm good.
Yep.
Or you say, all right, I'm good. I'll keep this as a daily. I need to look for a project car, something that's more along the lines of what I want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe not. Yep. You know, maybe you pack it away. Put on your panties and go to whatever.
Well,
I don't know.
And when we were having this conversation earlier, I think Scott put it best in a sense, like, you know, sometimes people forget that, you know, we were talking about hobbies and stuff like that. And at the end of the day, you know, you modify your car, not because there's something that you're going to get out of it, but it's because you love doing it, you know? And I think that's one of the best messages that I got out of the conversation that we had before this about this topic. And the reason why I wanted to have this topic is because, you know, I think, you know, I have to kind of go in that direction and kind of just decide, okay, this is what I want to do because
you want to do it.
I want to do it.
Yeah. I think that's the piece. Like, do something that you want to do until you don't want to do it anymore. For me, I can't help myself. Like, I need, like,
I mean, obviously, transmission was all over your mom's beautiful kitchen.
Well, look, Luis, I mean, somebody's got to fix it. But, like, look, I think that there's, like, for me with cars, it, you know, like, and I've heard this before, like, is there ever a level, like, I enjoy building the car sometimes even more than I enjoy driving the car.
Yeah.
And because I like that puzzle piece, I like that fabrication, I like all the things that come along with it. Now, that doesn't keep me from cursing, screaming, and throwing tools when things aren't going my way. Yeah. But at the end of the day, I find my most comfortable spot is in the garage with my TV on, you know, with some ridiculous thing on the TV while I'm with my tools outside. You know what I mean? Like, that for me is a very calming, you know, spiritual type place.
Nice.
Yeah. So like, for me, I like, you know, people say, oh, well, wouldn't you ever pay somebody? Or it's not about that. Like, it's not about that. Like, it's not like I'm trying to consciously do things on cars. I just want to constantly be doing things on cars. You know?
There you go.
Right.
Said it best.
Wait, but let's not forget the insult that Luis threw at me before. I think it's very important that we put this out publicly. Luis breaks.
Uh-huh. Well, some of you guys that are probably watching know that.
Right. And so I had said to him, we were talking about this stuff. I'm like, well, what is the value of being a B-boy? Right? And I was doing it in a sense to basically get him to say, well, no, the money.
Well, I started to think about it. I realized there wasn't much for me to say.
Wait. So I was trying to make the point that the value that you get out of being a B-boy is just that you love it. So you're not concerned with how much money it costs you as long as you are enjoying the heck out of it.
100%.
And when I said to Luis, so what's the benefit that you get out of Monaco? He goes, well, look, I'm healthy. And he like that was kind of like, well, you're into cars and look at you and look at me. Well, there's my benefit. And I'm like, you son of a bitch.
I didn't mean it like that.
All right. Anyhow. But that's pretty. Look, that's it. I'm interested to see some of the comments section. So if you guys have any thoughts on this, throw them in.
I think this is another reason why I wanted to kind of have this conversation is because what does it mean to you? You know what I mean? Like, what are the benefits of modifying your car? You know what I mean? Like, obviously, we're an aftermarket brand.
Let's start with this. If you're watching this live, wait till the live ends because a lot of those comments don't ever show up like they're supposed to. I don't know why. Yeah. But come back to the video once it's posted. And what I want you to do is I want you to put in what car you have.
Yep.
What were your first few modifications?
Yep.
Where do you plan to take your car?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, how far do you plan to take it? Is this a stepping stone car? Just trying to do a couple things, drive around, enjoy myself. I'm saving up for the car I really want.
Yeah.
Is this the car that I'm going to take all the way? And then, you know, that car will kind of get pushed to being a race car, dedicated, whatever, show vehicle, whatever you want to do. And you're going to get another car as a daily driver. Give us the sense of what you're working with.
Yeah. To me, it's interesting to see the progression of how people become just I guess you would call it a civilian in this, you know, person who just bought their car to becoming a person who's a car enthusiast. And how did that happen? How did that road happen? That to me is a very interesting thing. You know, I've had a lot of conversations with people like yourself, people like you know,
Savannah
and all that, and how they get to that point.
Very different.
And then you realize like they are in love with this game.
Yeah.
I guess, you know what I mean? And you know, yeah, I wanted to have that conversation in some capacity, you know, even with you guys.
Yeah, don't forget, if you haven't already, click that like button, click the subscribe button. All the giveaways we're going to be doing from here on out for most part of this year will probably come in an announcement form on our YouTube channel. So if you're listening on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or iHeartMedia, make sure you are subscribed to our YouTube channel, Koenig Wheels USA.
And one thing I want to say, don't forget, our wheels are coming out very soon.
Yeah,
they're very soon. Literally to the point where I think I could feel it. You know,
I could feel it right here.
You know, but make sure to put those pre-orders in. You never know. You know, you might look cool like next to my Fiesta because I'm gonna have these things on.
Riveting, right? Anyhow, with that said, don't forget that Friday we drop a piece of content as we always do.
Ooh.
I think it's a good one. It's a garage tour, if I'm correct.
With
Vinny 10.
Vinny 10.
Listen,
the tuner legend himself.
Vinny is one of those guys I have known for like 15, 16, 17 years. I grew up watching him race.
Yeah.
And watching him on, you know, on television, you know, doing the nopies and stuff like that. Cool guy, a ridiculous amount of information. Eccentric, but in a good way.
Well, you ever seen that Side Talk NYC? I would love anytime to be on Side Talk NYC. Because
He
is the quintessential
New Yorker.
Brooklyn, like, Canarsie.
Yeah.
Funny dude. You're really gonna dig it. Like, I'm telling you, if you liked Side Talk NYC, if you know what that is, that Instagram is, this guy's the one that's gonna deliver. I hopefully they get to see it some capacity, because Vinny Ten is hilarious in a great way.
He's super funny, super knowledgeable. His garage tour is gonna be cool.
And you get to see, you get to also see the 350Z that he has, the blue one with the drag 350Z.
It's in
the video too.
This is a car that's like a
That's a legendary
car,
man.
I'm trying to think if they hit eights. I think they hit high eights, but if not, they were definitely in the low nines. This car is a pretty crazy car. Remember, Vinny Ten has gone, I believe, sixes. He was probably one of the first ones, I think, to go sixes with that platform way back in the day. Look it up. Check it out. He's a 350Z VQ / Supra 2JZ Master. You know, and he does a lot of stuff with Subarus now, so it's been interesting to watch.
Super there too.
It's been interesting to watch his business really evolve, and the fact that he, you know, has built such a great business on even the GTR platforms.
Well, not only that, to see what he's done in New York itself. If you look at this garage, this is no little baby garage. You know, this is a real thing. There's sections where there's a section in the back over there where it's just strictly for engines, where he works on engines.
But so I think the other thing that people will see when they watch this thing too is just the fact that, you know, his spot, like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, his spot is a good spot on a main street, which in New York costs a lot of money.
Oh my God.
But this is one of these guys that if he had, you know, this business, if they had one of the, in the middle of Ohio, Pennsylvania, and they had one of those really big, large, you know, steel buildings, it would still be full of cars that are getting worked out. They turn out a tremendous amount of work. They do big dollar, you know, I don't want to say money, but like, they do big jobs, you know?
Yeah.
These are full-on builds, you know, cars that come out of the gate, you know, tuned, ready to go, pick up, and, you know, they have a dyno, they tune the cars there, they build the cars there, they build the engines on site. This is a fairly one-stop shop, maybe with the exception of Chassis Fab. And I would say with Chassis Fab, most of the time they'll get it done for you. But yeah, I mean, it's just, they're incredible. It's a good shop, but also in this shop, you're going to find that, like, they've crammed every nook and cranny full of stuff, and they could use way more space, but welcome to New York.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. We're out of here.
Thank you so much.
Take care of yourself. Somebody will see you next week.
Yeah.
Bye. Peace out.